The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. I hope you're all having a good time, and I hope the Lord blesses the show today. Whew, man, I tell you, I always push it. I always got so much to do, and push it right to the last second even. But hey, look, we have five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. If you want to watch, all you got to do is go to carm.org/. Oh, I got to change that too. The link on the homepage. I'll get to that. I'll do that in the next few minutes. Well, you can watch the YouTube aspect, or just go to YouTube and type in carm.org, and you can see the site there. You see me there, or also on Facebook, carm.org, carm.org. It's all you got to do. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. And then you can watch there. All right. Hey, look, five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. And for those of you who are new, just listening new, this is a Christian apologetics show. What we do is defend the Christian faith. And if you have questions on the Bible, logic, scriptures, verses, doctrines, all kinds of stuff, all you got to do is give me a call. We can blab. I've been doing this for a long time. And hopefully, we've got some good answers. And you can be the judge of that according to scripture. All right. Oh, you can turn that down. There you go. I got so many switches and things like that. That's all right. So there you go. Hey, give me a call. We have four open lines now, 877-207-2276. Tonight on Clubhouse, I plan on opening up a room or joining a room and discussing either Unitarianism and its failure and or also baptism. And what is baptism? Is it necessary for salvation? And what baptism really is for, things like that. So I'm thinking about working on that tonight on Clubhouse and opening up a room and teaching on that, because a lot of people have to know what the particulars are. And I've been developing an argument against Unitarianism, which I think is very solid, very good. I used it and a modification of it tonight, or use it on a debate I had with a well-known Muslim apologist, and he was not able to answer it on the problem of God being one person. So I got some new information I want to get on with that. And also, of course, the issue of baptism. Is baptism necessary for salvation? No, it's not. And here's another thing. Was baptism by sprinkling, by pouring, or was it by immersion? Now, some people, most people that I've talked to, say it has to be by immersion. And I'm going to make the case, if I talk about it tonight, not necessarily. It might be by pouring. And I've got some verses in context, and I'll put them together and show from the context where I think we can make a case for pouring and also sprinkling. That's right, sprinkling. Now, personally, my opinion is Jesus was sprinkled, not immersed. And that's according to Levitical law, because I think he had to fulfill Levitical law. Now, am I right? Well, I think I am. Could I be wrong? Yeah, I could be wrong. And so hopefully tonight we'll have a discussion on that. Maybe even on the radio, if you call me up and you have questions, we can talk about that as well. So it's up to you. Ooh, all right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging
on there. I was looking at Genesis. God said that he made two lights in the firmament, the one great and the lesser for night. So
yes.
How is one, how, okay, well, in secular science, they teach one light, one reflector. But God said he makes two lights. How can that be? What is it?
Well, it's just talking about, all it does is just talking about the sun and the moon. And the moon is a light, isn't it? Even though it's reflective,
well, I think
it is a light. Yeah, it's a light. We can see. The stars are light.
Exactly.
Planets are lights, but they reflect. So it's not a big deal. It's just the way the Bible's talking about it. So is the moon a light? Yes.
So,
is it a source of light as if it's generating light through nuclear fusion and fission? No. That's not what the Bible's talking about there. Okay.
What?
Yeah, the Bible is not saying that the moon produces light out of its own means the way the sun does. It's just calling it a light because it is a light. Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
All right.
But he said light and light.
Yes.
So how is it not light?
It is light. It's light. So he created a greater and a lesser light. Right? He made two great lights. The great light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And that's all that's going on.
So how is it...
Go ahead.
But no, I was just saying, but, you know, a lot of people say that the moon is reflective, but it's... Reflector is not the same as light.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But that's not the purpose of the text, to demonstrate that it's a light source the same way the sun is. It's not doing that. Okay? You have to understand there's more going on in Genesis in the first creative days than you might realize. Now, there's definitely a sequential order. God created light. Then on day two, separation of the waters from above and below. Day three, the dry land. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the water creatures and birds. And day six, cattle, creeping things, and man. Now, the thing is that there's a relationship between day one and day four. So it's like one, two, three, and then four, five, six, where one and four kind of paralleled, two and five are kind of paralleled, and three and six. Because in day one and four, there's light in day one, but there's the sun and moon and the stars on day four. So, and if you can see that, but they parallel, the sun and then the lights. On day two and day five, on day two, you have the waters, and day five, you also have waters. Day three and six, you have dry land on day three, dry land and sea plants, and then you have seas and plants, excuse me, and then you also have on day six cattle and creeping things, which is on dry land and stuff. So it's called the framework hypothesis, and I'm not saying I believe in it, I'm just saying there is a relationship, and it's just worth noting, that's all. Okay?
Okay, so... When he said he just divided the waters from below to the waters from above, you think the above waters are clouds? Do you think that?
Well, my opinion is that there was a lot of water vapor in the atmosphere. And I understand that pilots can be on a bright sunny day with no clouds in the sky and just fly through a lot of water in the air. And what happens is... Well, that's funny. It's supposed to be down. That's funny. And what happens is that they get drenched in water. They just get drenched. So it can happen like that. Okay? It's not a big deal.
Okay.
So there's a lot of water vapor. Plus, there's some... I've read where pterodactyls, of all things, can't fly in our atmosphere. Our present thickness of atmosphere is too light. And you need heavier, a thicker atmosphere. And so, one of the theories, there's a theory going around, is that before the flood, let me kind of back up and put everything together. So God created everything, and he put man on the earth in 6 days. All right. And so one of the theories is that the reason the dinosaurs existed is because the light refraction of the sun occurred around the atmosphere, which had a lot of water vapor in it, so much so that you would not see the sun, that it was like a cloud, like a mist up in the air. This is one of the theories, I'm just telling you. And then, when photosynthesis starts occurring, as that God creates the plants, the photosynthetic effect, plus the cosmic rays on the atmosphere, cause it to to dry up or to clear up. But also, you're going to notice that there's no mention of rain until the time of the flood. So right. One of the theories is that there was no rain on the earth, but the refraction in the heavy, moist atmosphere caused the earth to never be completely dark, even on the far side of the earth, when the sun was on the other side. That it was a refractive light, and so it was like dusk, or duskish dark, but not really dark. And so therefore, the plants could grow huge, and reptiles could grow really huge, because it was also a temperate temperature. It was just an average temperature of that wouldn't get cold all over the planet, which this would theoretically explain why the reptiles and so many plants were there. And then after the flood, it all went away. Then we have the seasons and stuff like that. Some think there's an axial tilt and some other stuff. And then we get into calendar changes and 702 BC and some other stuff. So anyway, there's a lot of people who've speculated about these kind of things on the biblical manuscripts, biblical evidence. And what I like to do is read them and say, here's one theory, here's another theory. If I think it's ridiculous, I'll just say I'm not going to repeat it. But if there seems to be some plausibility, say, well, here we go. And take a look at it. So anyway, don't know if that helps or not, but there you go, okay?
It did, but just one other thing. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, do it all the time. And I always correct them on it. Even as Christians, they do that. They participate in the ways of the world, and then they use the Lord's name in vain. And, so they shouldn't do that. But, okay, go ahead, though. But anyway.
I can't remember.
That's all right. Call back.
I think I have to call you back later.
That's okay. Call back.
Thank you.
No big deal. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So that was Rudolph. And we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Real quickly about the issue of using the Lord's name in vain. God's name and his title, like Lord, God, Jesus, and Christ, should always and only be used in a reverential way. Never in an exclamation of surprise or anger. It should never be used like that. If Christians, if you participate in that, you're in sin. You need to repent of that. And you need to only use God's name and his titles and attributes in a reverential way. He is God Almighty, the Holy One. So there you go. You can call me up and you want to talk about that. Please do. 877-207-2276. Martin from Virginia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey. I know we butted head a few times before, but I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate all you do and your heavy studies, and I enjoy listening to you daily.
Okay,
kind of backing you up a little bit about the two lights in Genesis, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Stephen Barnes, and he wrote a book maybe 10 years ago, Modern Physics, Ancient Beliefs. Hmm. Pretty heavy. You'd probably love it. It's very reasonable, very logical, and heavy into physics. It's tough to get through, but it mixes. It's a big mix of religious reference, Bible, and physics.
Okay.
Smart guy, good guy. He lays it out really good. But that Let There Be Light kind of references sort of to the Big Bang, where the light, the light existed, but then the two lights, like you had referenced, the moon and the sun in Genesis. You've got to take things in reference, like you often say. Yeah.
Hey, hold on, I got a break, okay? Because I want to talk a little bit more about this. Because I want to ask you about if he does discuss his time dilation as in reference and relativity and proximity of speed to the Earth. So we get 6 days or 6,000. So, hey, folks, you have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Martin. Martin, you still there?
Yeah, hey, Matt, still here.
All right. So what do you got?
Yeah, so the two lights, we know, back when, they were writing the book of Genesis, and they didn't have the telescopes, they didn't have the science that we had. That it's they didn't understand fusion. They didn't understand fission. So the moon was a light. To them, it was. Granted, in today's interpretation, it's an easy thing to attack if you're an atheist or you know, a semi-doubter that, hey, that there aren't two lights. The moon's not a light.
Yeah.
It still is a light. And if anybody goes hunting at night in a full moon, there's reasons why there's so much more activity on a full moon. It's more lit.
Yeah.
You know, there's things you can see just like in the midday.
Well, here's a concept. Let me ask you a question here, and I'll explain
sure.
something. Is a bat a bird?
Is a bat a bird? Well, I believe it's a mammal, but it flies like a bird.
Is a bat a bird?
Feathers like a bird. Yeah, it acts like a bird, flies like a bird.
But okay, is a bat a bird?
Well, are all birds mammals?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is a bat a bird? The answer is
okay. What's the
no?
The answer is
no.
Right?
Yeah, the answer is no. Okay.
Okay.
But so people will criticize the Bible because the Bible calls bats birds. And then they say, see, the bat is not a bird, therefore the Bible can't be trusted because it's an error. But what they're doing
okay.
is imposing modern definitions upon an ancient text.
Right.
To them, if
right.
they defined a bird as anything that flew, that had two wings and was of that size and character, then it was perfectly accurate according to the definition that they had at the time. So,
yeah, it's just like Genesis and day one, day two, day three. It's not a day. Even though they talk about day and night, it was
well,
yawn.
That's a different topic. That's a different topic. So when it talks about the issue of light, they are using it in the term that they defined it as. And when people today say, well, that's not the proper form of light, which I should have brought up earlier with the other caller, that's not the correct way. We don't look at the old way in light of the new definitions. They had their
correct.
Own then. We have to understand it in the context. If they were to define light as those things in the sky like that, then by definition, that's what it is. We can't impose our definitions
correct.
Upon them the same way we can't say a bat is not a bird in modern parlance when they used it descriptively the way they did, and that's fine.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to put the lens of when it was written and the terminology of then for what
right.
it meant.
And so it's not an error. And so as far as a day
right.
goes, you got to be careful about stuff. The reason I asked about the book, I'm looking for a book that I've heard about, but I don't know what it is. I don't know the author, so I can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with the issue of relativity. And so apparently some physicists, let me see if I can remember this, have done some analysis on the expansion of the universe and the relationship of time on the surface of the Earth versus outside. And the further out you go, the more accelerated time looks. And so there's a relationship between the 6 days and longer periods outside, and both are the same. They're just from different perspectives because of relativity.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm trying to find that information. And I'd heard about it before in some radio shows, and you know, I was driving.
Yeah,
I remember I was too.
I'll
and I heard
around.
That. Was, you know. So
that's
yeah,
interesting.
That's
I try to get a good physics and religious mm-hmm. book every 6 months. Sometimes it takes a couple months to get through. Sometimes it takes a few weeks. But
yeah
I've got a good library of some nice science-y type books.
Well, good. I love science. I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was growing up, and I took all the science stuff. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I took all the science stuff in high school and took so much that I was exempt from any math and science courses in college. I just didn't have to take any.
Nice.
So
I tried to. I was going to go marine biology at Oregon State University. I was going to try that, but I went a different route. Went accounting at University of Oregon.
Wow. Well, get this. Here's a brag. I met Jacques Cousteau. How about that? So
that is. Well, where'd you meet him? Hopefully.
On the Queen Mary. When the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California opened up, I've lost it, I think, the number 8 ticket, 00008. And I was the 8th one on board, in line, etc. When the Queen Mary opened up as a museum, and Jacques Cousteau was there,
yeah.
and I got his autograph. So,
very nice. Yeah,
I don't know where it is now. Just like I have the autograph, I have a letter written to me by George Takei, Sulu from Star Trek, because he wrote me personally. So, Yeah, just, you know, little brag stuff. It's no big deal, but there you go.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the more you expand your mind, and there was a book, The Physics of God. I think that's about 5 years old. Maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Science and the good. I mean, there's lots of good things out there that people can expand themselves with.
Yeah. One thing I know, though, the more science I study, the more I find out that the Bible's correct.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
The Bible is correct.
Yeah.
It's not possible for life to have spawned and formed spontaneously any place in the entire universe, period. The mathematics is against it. We can go into that.
Absolutely.
The idea of life forming.
Yeah, there's design. Yeah, there's code. DNA is code. It is code. And nowhere, anywhere where you can look, there's nowhere that you can find code that's not intelligently placed. It's intelligence behind that.
That's correct. And I was talking to an atheist last night on a chat thing, and this atheist guy, we were discussing the issue of the universals and intelligence of the laws of logic. And I said, laws of logic don't occur in nature. You know, they don't occur in chemical reactions. That's what we're talking about. I'm trying to refute the issue of materialism as it relates to the physical brain, because they hold what's called property dualism. This is all big highfalutin stuff. And this guy got up and said, yes, you do see things in chemical reactions and wired reactions. Those are computers. And I said, yeah, they're intelligently designed.
Exactly.
And so they always hurt themselves when they try and refute the idea of materialism as a problem. And then they invoke intelligently designed computers to say, well, that's why there is no intelligent design, because I'm citing to an intelligent design theory. You know, it's just... Yeah. At any rate.
Oh, yeah. And that's why those intelligently designed computers are so flawed when you're stuck in the checkout line because the computers are down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and some aren't. So, all right, buddy. Well, thanks, man. Call back again. All right?
Yep.
All right.
You bet. Bye.
Okay. Hey, folks, four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. Let's get on the phone with Noelle from Virginia. Noelle, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hi. How are you?
Let me check.
All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I had to check. You asked me. I had to check. So what do you got?
Yeah. So, all right. What are some ways that demons affect your life, and can they manipulate objects?
Wow. Some of the ways demons can affect you in your life is you start voting as a socialist or a communist. That's one of the things. Or you start thinking Trudeau in Canada is doing what's right. That's another way. Oh, hey, look at that. We're out of time. Hold on. We've got a break. We'll come back. Folks, please stay tuned. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Look, we have four open lines. I want you to give me a call. Don't make me come out there and talk to you. 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Noelle. All right, so you want to know what ways demonic forces can influence you, and can they move objects and things like that? You want me to tackle those?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. They can often cause depression. In the Bible, we see that they have strength if a person's possessed. That's not a Christian, though. Great strength and sometimes knowledge that they wouldn't normally have. But generally, it's in the non-believer, demonic influences move people away from the truth of God, towards hatred towards God, condemnation towards the things of God. In a Christian context, they can make your life a little bit inconvenient, help contribute to depression, I should say. And they can also influence by their people who do bad things. And they can affect you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can they influence physical objects? Yes, they can. Okay, they can.
Okay.
All right. And so, but it's not very common. You know, there are plenty of stories all over the world of objects moving doors slamming, mm-hmm. windows opening, various things. You know, I understand sometimes it's just the wind, but no, there are plenty of documented instances around the world where serious movements are happening, objects moving. I've talked to people, one eyewitness I talked to one-on-one said that his house was, haunted, I guess you could say. And he said that he and his family were he grew up in this house. He was very, very used to it. Not that it was okay, but he said one time they're sitting there watching TV and an object just moved. It just hovered in front, moved to the other side of the room. And they all watched it, and then they just kept watching TV because they were used to it. And the house had been visited by parapsychologists. It's Southern California. It was one of the top ones in the world, or the country, I should say. And so, at any rate, yeah, it can happen and stuff. I've seen, when I was back involved in the occult, I've seen lights move, and I've seen some other stuff. So, it happens.
Yeah, I've experienced stuff like randomly being thrown down or moved.
How old
around,
are you, if I can ask? Can I ask how old? It's an important question. If I can ask how old you are.
I am 26, and you talked to me not too long ago on your after show about my abortion.
Okay. But let me ask you, when these things happened, how old were you when they happened, roughly?
It happened a few days ago.
A few days ago, okay. Because a lot of times, with particularly with women in their early 20s, late teens, there are manifestations of this kind of physical contact, activity, etc. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I live with a Mormon, and mm-hmm. she also has the ability to know things before they happen.
Yeah, you need to get out of the Mormon situation if you can, because Mormonism is non-Christian. It's a door open to the occult because of their false doctrines and stuff that, you know. Yeah. But what you can do, do you go to a church?
Yep, I do.
Well, you can talk to the elders of the church specifically. You talk to the elders of the church about this. You tell them these things, and you tell them that you need prayer. And ask if it's possible for one or two to come over at the same time when everybody else is gone and you're there. You don't want a man and you alone together in a house together. But if two elders come over, they can anoint the house and or the room at least that you're in and stuff like that. Okay?
Okay.
So,
alrighty.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a serious thing. Mormonism is a door. It's a humongous door to the occult, and there are.
I've been trying to. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry. I've been trying to minister some, but it's very hard.
And are you married to a Mormon?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, raised, but not.
Are you married at all?
Yeah.
Are you married?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Is your husband a Christian?
Professing.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking is there's a hierarchical structure spiritually. God the Father, the Son, Jesus, the husband, the wife, the children. And so generally what you need is the husband to be involved with this and be praying. If he's not really a Christian, the elders are the ones that you need to go to anyway, and they can step in. But you have the authority, even as a Christian woman. As not a woman doesn't mean you can't do anything, but you have the authority as a Christian to be able to anoint and pray through the house and invoke the name of Jesus in combat to the demonic manifestation of Mormonism.
Okay.
And you should.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for answering my question.
Okay. One more thing. If you really were thrown down, did you feel a physical hand movement pressure upon you? Is that what you physically felt?
Oh, no. No. Just an object. It was what was it? It was like a mop that got thrown down, and I was not too far from the area.
Okay. Well, you always got to make sure that the mop just didn't slide off of something and it just dropped. But you'll know, you can tell when something is thrown versus just falls. And so that's up to you. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I don't really see how it could have done that, like just fallen, because it was in a pretty secure situation on the wall.
Okay.
And yeah, so it was just little things like that. I've seen like worse, but that was long ago. But I just wanted to know if they can manipulate. I was pretty certain that
they
could. But I just kind of wanted to confirm that, really.
Yeah, they can, but it requires, or there has to be more a door opening to the occult for demonic influences to come through.
So I assure you, there are plenty of doors. I was saved after, you know, kind of realizing all this.
Yeah. Remember, I was involved in the occult before I became a Christian, so I've seen things, had seances, seen objects move, you know, well, not objects, but balls of light.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, really fast. What do you got?
Okay. If I had used a Ouija board before being saved, how does that affect me today?
Well, everything's in Christ is clean, so it's all gone. But one of the things you can do is just say, Lord, I did this before. I want you to know I renounce it. And, you know, I know you're covering it and it's taken care of. I just want you to know I'm just doing that verbally. And that's all. That's all you got to do. But you don't have to worry about it, because the Ouija boards are doors to the occult. And, but, you know, if you did that, I've done worse than that, just so you know. I've done much worse back in my occult days. And what I did, I just renounced all of it when I became a Christian. I just did not like it's just how you have to do it, but I just did. I just went through and listed everything I could think of. And I said, Lord, all this was sin. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I know it's covered by the name of Christ. And that's it. I just moved forward from then on. Didn't worry about it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All right?
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All righty.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Well, God bless. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Noelle. And so the verse, folks, is 1 John 4:4, and you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If you have had occult dealings, done things in your past that were bad, but now you are Christian, you have to understand, greater is the one who's in you, Jesus Christ, than he who is in the world, the enemy of the gospel. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but it does mean you can trust in Christ. And you need to do that by faith. Sometimes it's appropriate to trust God beyond your ability to understand, simply because of who he is. Because faith is only as good as who you put it in. And your goal is to faith, which means to exercise faith and trust in him because of who he is. This is something that God wants you to do, and you should. And don't worry. Don't live in the past. Live in the present. Jesus Christ is in you. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. If you want to give me a call, we have open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ed from North Carolina, whom we lost. All right, if you've got nobody waiting, if you want to give me a call. Let me talk about the issue of the occult. And a lot of people have been involved with this in their youth. And because we've got no callers waiting right now, let's kind of maybe go through this a little bit. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. So back before I was saved, let me tell you some stories. Before I was even born, my mom said that she would start having these dreams of a man coming to her in her sleep, and he was dressed in a certain pattern. And he would come to her, and she'd be so terrified she'd wake up from her sleep, and then she'd wake up my dad, who could not see this figure, but in the sleep he would come to her, and then when she'd wake up, she'd watch as he would walk through the wall at the foot of the bed and just stand there and stare at her. And I questioned her. Her IQ was, she was a genius, a lot smarter than I ever was. And she we talked about it, and she said that there was no drugs, no alcohol, no this, no that. It was all just is what she saw. And I said, okay. This went on for a few years, and then I was born, and she said the last time that he appeared was, that I remember anyway, was when he came, and she woke up and watched him, this time, walk over to the crib. I was in a crib in the room, and watched me in the crib, standing in the wall, standing half out of the wall, just watched me. And then she'd wake up my dad, and my dad, said, talk to him. And she goes, no, I'm not supposed to be here. And turned the light on, and he disappeared, and that was it. And so years later, when I'm in the occult, I would do things like seances and necromancy, trying to contact the dead. And I got to the point where I could see auras, and I still have a memory of seeing an aura once of a woman that was so profound, I could still see it. It was so profound. And there it was. It was a glowing 1 to 2 inch kind of a halo around her entire body. And I watched it. I was fully cognizant. And I've never done drugs in my life and didn't have hardly any alcohol until I was in my late 20s. I just didn't drink. I didn't care. It wasn't sleep deprivation, no meds. It was nothing. There it was. And this is in the time of my life when I'm doing occult things, seances, trying to contact the dead, table tilting, and other stuff. And so I tried astral projection. I tried other things as well. And so I could never do the astral projection. I asked a friend of mine to come over to my house, astral projection, and verify, we could do this, that he could. And he told me later that he was not able to do that that one particular night when I asked him, because there was a figure, a man, who was preventing him from entering into our house, and he described the man the same way my mom did. And I hadn't told him or anybody else about this figure because I just was embarrassed. I didn't know if it was legit. I didn't want to say anything about this. And so I just didn't. And so he told me, yeah, he was dressed like, and he described him perfectly, a black hat, a long white sleeve shirt rolled up to the elbows, black slacks, black shoes, and just standing and would not let him come in. Now, how did he know this very same thing? But that's just, I'm going through some of this stuff quickly. I remember once in the seances and things like that, we saw balls of light move across a room. I heard my name being called out of the darkness by a female voice. It was very interesting things, and I remember once seeing a cross materialize in midair. With a witness, we saw the exact same thing, a yellow cross with blue light materializing. Now, people, if you don't believe in that, you say, oh, Matt, you're just mental, you imagined it. Well, you can say whatever you want. I know what I saw. And I'm not given to following the crowd. I'm not a follower. I just don't follow the crowd. And I never did drugs, never did, that alcohol, wasn't drunk, wasn't anything, wasn't sleep deprivation. I saw this stuff. And some of my friends, we were involved for a couple, 3 years in this issue. I forget exactly the time span. Maybe it was a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know, where we're doing occult stuff. And things started opening up. Doors started opening. And there were some other things that were starting to occur, which I've never mentioned on the radio, but connections. And I'll leave it for that for now. But so things started changing. Your mental attitude starts changing. Your belief system starts changing. You get affected. And you start looking for the things of darkness. I remember very clearly being attracted to the things of darkness. And I was getting more and more involved with it. And there were associated things with darkness that became appealing. Now, move ahead a little bit of time, and when I got saved. And that's quite a story in itself, with an incredible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just incredible, powerful experience. Immediately, as in immediately, the draw towards the occult and towards things of darkness was absolutely, completely gone, and were actually repulsive. There was a night and day difference, because when you're unregenerate, you want power, you want control, you want influence, you want security. Security often is best maintained by you yourself trying to be in control of your situation, your food, your job, your money, your whatever. And you want security because you need to make it happen yourself. And sometimes people, particularly in the youth, because they don't have jobs yet, aren't really out on their own, things are up in the air, their brains are still developing. And so they turn to the occult because it's an attempt, well, to be entertained for one thing, to see what will happen for another, but also to influence control over their lives and even the lives of others. And instead of looking towards Christ, they look to themselves, they look towards the occult. And in so doing, doors open up. And when I talk about doors in the area of the occult, those are the kinds of things. You can have doors open up by doing Ouija boards, by doing table tilting, by pendulum swinging, by chakra balancing. You can do it by attempting necromancy, astral projection, by crystal gazing, and things like this. There's lots of ways that open the doors. And as Christians, we don't participate in those things. And if you ever were involved in those things, now you're a Christian, I think it's just a good idea just to talk to the Lord Jesus, renounce all those things, just confess it, and move on, and you're done. But there are demonic forces, there are real things out there. People think it's a joke, but no, it's real. And I've had experiences also, and granted, this is all subjective, I've had experiences of a very profound demonic presence, very profound. And all I can tell you is that I was aware of its existence. And this was after I was involved in Christian ministry. And my roommate and I were involved together, named Dave, and we were going out to a swap meet ministry, and we were setting up booths and passing out literature and preaching the gospel and things like that. And so we were trying to witness, and some things would happen. And he told me once that a couple weeks prior to me telling him something, and I told him that it was demonic forces and presence, and it was really just terrifying. And, you know, it was terrifying. I had to cry to my Lord. Anyway, I told him about this, and he said 2 weeks prior to that, he had had a nightmare where he wasn't able to breathe. He was suffocating. And he said that he woke up, and he was tangled up in his sheets. And I said, okay, you know. And he says, no, you don't understand, Matt. He said, I was so tangled up in there. It was as though I had been wrapped super tightly or in them. He said he was having trouble breathing. That's how tightly he was in these in the sheets. It took him 20 minutes for him to get out. So we were doing stuff like this, right? And we're tackling the occult. And here's another story. This stuff's real. This stuff happens. So Dave and I are at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is literally across the street from Disneyland. I used to live right, you know, down the street kind of thing, for years and years there. And so we went to a Buddhist convention. And so Dave is sitting to my right, and we are watching the Buddhists do their chanting to demonic forces. And they don't know that they are, but they are. And so we're a couple hundred feet away, because it's a huge convention center, and they're on one side of the convention. It wasn't all filled up, it's just a few hundred people there. And we were at the far end, and we were being respectful. We weren't causing any problems. And I noticed that my arms, forearms started tingling, and I didn't say anything, didn't think anything. I just got getting the willies. And after a few minutes, I realized something. I said, wait a minute, this feels like they're fingers, pressures of finger lines on my forearms. That's what it felt like on both. I thought, no, I could be right. I started paying attention to it, and I went, no, wait a minute, there is actual pressure. Just like if you were to take your hand and put it on your forearm and you feel pressure, that's what it felt like. I turned to Dave, and I didn't say anything other than, do you feel anything? And he said to me, do you mean like hands holding your arms down? He felt the same thing. We just ended up leaving. When you're involved in the occult, there are things that can affect you. And when you're trying to refute false theological systems, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism, Islam, occult things, demonic forces, yeah, you know, they kind of come after you. I got other stories, but that kind of stuff there, it's real. So this is my past. This is why when people call up on the show, I'm familiar with stuff because I used to be involved in it. And by God's grace, I'm saved out of it, repented, and here we are now. Let's get to Monique from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I always call out a breaker when you're almost out of time, so I'm trying to talk fast. Hope I can be intelligible. God
right.
bless you, first of all. Pray for your wife and brother, daughter, whenever God prompts it, it's important. But here's the question, going back to the depression, the demonic thing, I missed the broadcast part after the young lady, so I don't know what you said. But how can you determine, I'm in a situation where anybody would pretty much be depressed unless they'd have to labor against it. Dialysis, both parents gone, watched them die, you know, no close friends, so you've been a close friend, no church home, which is a real big problem. Is there a way, obviously praying, but to know, because I am by myself so much.
Oh, wait,
so
I don't understand your question, though. You're jumping around from topic to topic, and so I'm not following you.
You do this to me. Okay, I'm trying to give you the context of the question.
Okay.
Because you do this to me every time, and I really don't understand it before God. I'm serious.
That's okay. Remember, I'm autistic.
I wish I could laugh.
That's all right.
But what I'm saying is, how do you, I hope so, because I don't really, how do you determine if there's a demon? I know I'm not possessed. I know I'm not in a cult. I know I don't have any open doors. But how can you determine between how much of that is depression just because you're a human? And I don't mean staying in the home, but just depression in your mood. And what is demonic about it? If there's anything other than, of course, it's not the word.
Well, it's difficult to know. I always look for naturalistic explanations first. If someone's depressed or having problems, you know, are they, maybe they have a medical problem. Maybe they're not getting enough sleep. Maybe there's an allergy problem that they have. They
right.
don't realize it. So I always look for those. And only after all of those have been exhausted, then do I consider something spiritual. Okay?
Okay. And that's I'm glad you said that, because that's what I've been doing all this time. And for me, it's very hard because I'm on dialysis, so your blood is poisoned all the time. I just watched my dad die. I watched my mother die. You know, unexpected. I'm, you know, a lot of attack because of my walking
strength,
and I know that for sure.
Yeah.
So it's all of those things, and I'm isolated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I don't think.
Well,
that's
you know what?
I know
read your word.
Yes.
We're out of time. Read your word.
Yeah.
The more you're familiar with the word, the more you're familiar with the other stuff. All right. But there you go. Thanks for calling. We're out of time. Sorry. Call back again. All right. Hey, folks, there you go. The end of the show. Be back on the air by God's grace tomorrow. And hopefully we'll talk to you then. So have a great evening. And may the Lord bless you. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.